Welcome to another Marvel podcast. My name is Drew Gretsch.
And I'm Yvonne Cena.
Yvonne, it's here. Last night was Moon Knight night. That's right, guys. Today we are talking about Moon Knight, Season 1, Episode 1, The Goldfish Problem. This episode was released on Disney Plus on March 30th, 2022, and has a runtime of 46 minutes. The episode was directed by Mohamed Diab and was written by Jeremy Slater. Stephen Grant, a mild-mannered man who works a mundane job, begins to suspect that his life may not be his own when an alter ego inside him begins to emerge. So, you guys know, this has been the show I'm most looking forward to. Other than Loki, I think. Like, going into Phase 4, it was Loki and Moon Knight, and those were the two. These were the two shows I had the most real, authentic anticipation for, more than like, oh my god, I get to go back to the MCU this week. You know? Real anticipation was for Loki and for Moon Knight. And my god, this delivered. This delivered. I was going into this episode thinking, okay, we're probably only going to start to get like the first little hints of the mystery here, what's really going on. No, we got so much more. I thought there was a chance that we wouldn't even see the actual Moon Knight in this first episode. I didn't think we were going to see Arthur Harrow in this first episode. Like, I knew that he'd be in, like, the first half. Like, this wouldn't be a case where we get to the end of the season to reveal who Arthur Harrow is. I mean, he's been in all the trailers.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, this episode really delivered for me. This was a great pilot. I think this was the best first episode of all five shows that we got on Disney Plus.
Agreed. This gave the hype.
This delivered on the hype. And you know what I love the most about it? So I've watched the episode four times. And that's because I have a cold. And I'm on spring break right now, and we have a flight in the morning to California. So, yeah.
You got time.
I've had the time. I could have spent that time, you know, doing the notes for The Punisher, which we're going to be doing here in a couple weeks, talking about season one. But no, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna keep on watching Moon Knight. I also...
We
did stay up until 2 a.m. for this. This is... And we're still in spoiler-free section here. This is, I think, the most I've anticipated the next episode, the second episode of a Disney Plus show. This is the most at least for Marvel. This is the most hyped I've been to watch the next episode and click play. Right?
Yeah.
Because I just thought everything about this episode worked. There was not a second of wasted screen time. Every second was used to further and advance the story and or build on the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Every scene was used well. And
agreed.
I think this is a better mystery than WandaVision. Because WandaVision, we had a good idea as fans speculating like where this show would go at the end. You know, because we knew that we would be seeing Wanda in Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
So, like, really, where else could that have gone? Obviously, it was like Wanda would survive and stuff, but still. Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful episode. This was such a great episode. I loved the Egyptian mythos that was brought in here. I loved that. I thought it was great. That's always been something that's intrigued me the most is ancient Egypt. And I love that it looks like it's going to be depicted here in an actual way. In like a real, authentic way that's not racist. You know? And I'd actually like to point out, this is the second time that Oscar Isaac has played an Egypt-related Marvel character. Because I know we don't like to talk about this, But Oscar Isaac was also part of the X-Men franchise. Because he played the character...
Yeah, I don't even know.
He played the first mutant, known as Apocalypse, in X-Men Apocalypse.
Oh,
right. So this is the second time. This is the second time he's done Egypt Marvel. Marvel Egypt. So, yeah. I thought that was really good. Again, the mystery of it. Oscar Isaac, you got a little sense here. You got a little bit, you got a tiny sense in this first episode of what he's going to bring, about how he's going to help us, the fans, the viewers, to differentiate Mark and Steven.
Yeah, he's doing an amazing job.
From the one scene where we actually saw Mark, from that one scene, excuse me, it was, like, you could tell, it's different. Like, aside from the voice, which, by the way, the voice was, I thought that was really great. Because the whole thing with his accent is that the body of Mark Spector, because I hate to use this term, but the main identity here is Mark Spector. Yeah. Because, like, that's the name on the birth certificate. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Steven is an alternate identity here. And I'll talk more about the DID in a second, but, you know, what Oscar Isaac really wanted to do here was have a British accent that seemed a bit off. It seemed like it was being faked because it was, because it is for the character. It is a fake voice for the character. This, he was, born and raised, Yvonne, in our hometown in Chicago. At least in the comics, and Oscar Isaac did mention Chicago in one interview. So, yeah. But the DID, and this is the last thing that I'll talk about before we get on into spoilers. Which, by the way, I don't really feel like there's anything to spoil in this first episode. Like, typically what I say, like, when it shows out all at once, like, I'm recommending a show to someone, I'll give you, like, a brief rundown of episode one, because I don't think anything in the first episode of a show is a spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
You can make the case for something. It's like Baby Yoda, Mandalorian. But I mean, like, first episode...
That was a major selling point after that.
That's true. But, like, first episode, you're not really, like... You don't necessarily care about the characters that much in order to care about spoilers. It's just in my own personal experience. So, but even with that, I don't really feel there's anything to spoil in this first episode. But I know that, like, people with these big franchise shows, they're cautious about spoilers, which I don't know why you clicked on a episode review on a podcast if you haven't seen the episode yet. But the DID, the dissociative identity disorder, is fascinating to me. And I truly sympathize with anyone out there who has it, because it looks terrifying.
Yeah, just the days of your life.
As an outsider looking in. And, like, Steven has no idea. He just thinks he has a sleeping disorder.
Yeah.
You know? So,
He thinks he just has simple night terrors.
Well, no, because he thinks, like, he knows that sometimes, like, he wakes up somewhere else, right?
Yeah, night terrors, sometimes you can sleep sprint.
Yeah. But, yeah, I just thought that was really interesting. I can't wait to see how it's portrayed further in the series. I've not seen anyone on Twitter really, like, getting mad about it, so I'm assuming that they're portraying it well. I don't know if this is, like, a bit more exaggerated, like how, you know, Daredevil's blindness is exaggerated. Because, like, you know, when you lose a sense, your other senses are heightened. But you can't hear a conversation three city blocks away. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so now let's get into spoilers. We're going to go through our, like, play-by-play of the episode, just talking about things that we liked and didn't like. Starting off. So we're in spoiler mode. We're in spoiler mode. I'm not going to give a spoiler. I don't feel there's anything to spoil. So, yeah. Man, that first scene. That first scene.
That just set the tone for the whole show.
It's like, what is going on?
It's just confusion. That's the whole thing.
Like, we were watching it last night. And...
yeah.
It's just like,
I had this eerie feeling the whole time.
Yeah. And I asked you to look up, is there any, like, historical context for what Harrow's doing? Could you find an answer there, Devon?
I can look one up right now, yeah.
Alright. Yeah, like, how are his feet, like, not horribly scarred? Or maybe they are and we just didn't see it. And then...
you could say he's giving his body to the god he's worshipping.
Yeah, but... to Ahmet. But that wasn't necessarily my question. My question was, like, how are his feet... like, his feet, like, how can he still walk? Right? Like, he has that cane, but still... and you could hear the glass crunching beneath his feet.
Yeah, that was an eerie feeling.
That was quite eerie. I love that song playing over the Marvel Studios intro. I love that song playing.
Oh, I have an answer. It is showing commitment to his righteous cause.
Okay, and is that like...
let go of this earthly tether.
Is that like a specifically like Egyptian, like ancient Egypt thing?
No, this is just like a regular, just like, this is my body for you to use.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, because I was wondering if there was any like... importance there with it being like strictly Egyptian.
I mean, it's glass.
It's glass. But yeah.
Closest thing I can think of is like the coal, walking on coals.
Well, yeah, but that's...
that's a different culture entirely.
Yeah,
I know that.
That's a whole different thing. One thing in the Marvel Studios intro is usually after a couple months, the most recent Marvel Studios film will be added to the intro, and the Eternals have been added.
Just want to put that out. I didn't see that. Where are they in the intro?
They're, I think, like right after like you, the Asgardian gates open. If you look like directly above that, you can see that shot from the beginning of the movie, where they're all just, like, standing there, like right after they've come to Earth.
Okay.
Which, I love the beginning of that movie. I think that the opening of Eternals is great.
Yeah, it shows really what they're doing.
Yeah, but we're
just foreign people.
We're not really here to talk about Eternals. We're here to talk about Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Which, you can compare this to Eternals quite a bit. You know, because... The word unique has been thrown around the MCU a lot in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like WandaVision, Shang-Chi, Eternals, now Moon Knight. I sort of feel like it's been overused. Or some may feel it's been overused. I don't agree with that, honestly. I don't think that word's been overused, because it shows that the MCU is growing. And... they're doing different stories. And you know what? I don't necessarily know if this show is going to get a season 2 or if we'll ever even see Mark Spector again. I hope we see him again after this show. But if we don't, like, how great would be, Yvonne, if this show introduces the idea of one-offs set in the MCU that are, like, fully canon? You know, it's just like... not everyone in a universe has to know each other, right?
Yeah, it's good to have disconnect.
It is. And, you know, I watch the John Campia show a lot. And one thing that they say in regards to, like, quote, member berries in Star Wars. Like, remember when this happened, when that happened, and that happened? Where it's like Star Wars in the last few years has gotten, like, really small. And you can judge how big a city is by when you walk outside, how long does it take for you to run into someone you know. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we went all of Eternals without bumping into anyone we knew. Can't say that about anything about, like, literally any other project in the MCU aside from Iron Man 1. So,
yeah, it's very refreshing.
Yeah, it just expands the world and the mythos of the MCU, and I love that. Because the MCU, it's getting kind of crazy out there.
Yeah.
Like, we have the multiverse saga with, we had WandaVision, Loki, What If, No Way Home. Now we're getting Multiverse of Madness. We're getting, we'll see if, like, Ant-Man 3 figures in there at all. I think it might to an extent. But then, you know, we have this stuff, like, out in space with mm-hmm. Thor 4 and the Guardians things and this new Nova project. So there's just and now, like, it seems like we could be getting the Midnight Suns, right? Because we've met Black Knight in Eternals. He's going to be appearing in the Blade film. Now we have Moon Knight. We're getting Werewolf by Night this year. Daredevil's been reintroduced. They could bring back John Bernthal's Punisher, which, by the way, I'd love him to bring back John Bernthal's Punisher, but I don't think they will. I don't think they will. I mean, just the MCU is going everywhere right now, and I really love it. I really love it. But we have to move on, so this podcast is not 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
Which, fair warning, we're like 17 minutes in. I can tell you this will be longer than the episode. This will be longer than the episode. Okay. This was such an amazing introduction to the character of Stephen Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, all the sleeping precautions that he goes through every single night. I thought it was great. Such a wonderful introduction, which I just used that word. But, like, getting to meet the character for the first time, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really interested to hear if Disney, like, reports the numbers for the series premiere. Right? Because
They probably will.
The trailer, the trailer had more views in the first 24 hours than I think any other trailer did for a Marvel Disney Plus show in their entirety.
Wow.
I think that's what happened. Not like they're all put together, but like in the first 24 hours, the trailer for Moon Knight got more views than the Falcon and Winter Soldier trailer has in the last year. Which is
pretty
crazy.
Impressive.
So people are like, oh, who's Moon Knight? So we'll see if they actually go and check out the show. And like, reviews are really strong. Yvonne, can you pull up the Rotten Tomatoes right now for Moon Knight Season 1?
Yeah, I can check the score.
All right, thanks. I love the line right here where he's on the phone with his mom. And we'll talk about that in a second because something's not right there. I still wake up every morning feeling like I've been hit by a bus. What if he has? No,
I have a score here.
Yeah, what's the score?
Critics are 84%, audience is 92%.
Nice, love that. I think this is my favorite of the first episodes. It's my favorite of the first episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
If this show keeps being strong every single week, if this show stays this fantastic, it's gonna be my number one. Me, my number one. So, yeah. I love the line that he had when he like gets to the museum, with the and he's like talking to that little girl, and. Mm-hmm. He mentions,
he has knowledge.
Well, no. What I think is so sad, like, Stephen Grant is just, like, kind of a sad person. Like, his biggest dream in life is to be a museum tour guide. That's his dream.
Yeah, that is pretty sad.
That's his dream. If you're a museum tour guide and you love your job, that's great. But is that really your wildest dream? And I'm not trying to make it and anyone feel like disappointed by that, but just like I feel like everyone's dreamed bigger. Everyone's dreamed bigger than
yeah.
that. You know? So it's just sad. And he's also excuse me. I also just don't think Steven's all that smart. I he just doesn't strike me as a very smart person. Like, smart about Egypt.
Yeah.
But that's like he doesn't have that many people skills. Right?
Yeah. You can tell he doesn't talk to a lot of people. He might be months old, so
yes. That is true.
That identity is probably only months old.
That is one slight little problem I have here with this episode is, like, it's not really clarified, like, how he's done all this. Like, how did he get a job? His birth certificate's not in the name of Stephen Grant. Or did Mark get him the job? It's really convoluted. I'm sure it'll all be explained, though. Because we're gonna get a flashback episode, right?
Yeah.
We're gonna get a flashback episode. Probably episode 3 or... My guess is it'll be episode 3. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because the flashback episodes, or I guess, if you want to call them the filler episodes, excuse me, the filler episodes, like WandaVision was episode 4, which is still one of the best episodes of that show, where it's just like Agents of S.W.O.R.D.
Yeah.
Loki on Lamentis was episode 3. And the whole like car chase episode in Hawkeye was episode 3. So, my guess is it'll be episode 3. Or, you know, maybe it'll be episode 2. It's episode 2, that's great. This episode felt like a complete story. And here's the thing. This is the first time that I've watched a Marvel Disney Plus show. And I felt like I'm watching a movie. Because people will say that these shows have movie-level budgets, and that is just not true at all. Like, you can look at the season, and it's like, okay, yeah, this season has the budget of a smaller MCU movie. But when you break that down minute by minute, it's not the case.
Yeah.
If these episodes were, like, an hour long, because I believe the budget for all the Disney Plus shows is $150 million. It's about $25 million per episode. Which is still a lot. But that's nowhere near, like, movie quality. Like, even if you were to take half a movie, like, an hour of a movie, it would still be more than $25 million. By a significant margin. So, but this felt like it had that movie quality budget. One of the things I praised Daredevil for when we covered Daredevil, all those episodes are up now, is how well the show hid its budget.
How much was the budget for Daredevil?
Well, Yvonne, you are the producer of the show. You can look that up.
That is
true. Yeah, but it's not much. I think for all 13 episodes of season 1, it was something like $100 million. Which, when you divide it down, that's less than $10 million per episode. So, you know, there you go. That's like 33% or something like that. I don't want to do math in my head right now. But, the budget... The cinematography, this felt like a movie, and I loved it. So, yeah. One thing I loved here, and one thing I hope is explored, Mark's the one who asked out this girl, Dylan.
Yeah.
In the inevitable flashback episode, like, I want to see, like, you know, I guess I want to see Mark maybe take pity on Steven and sort of protect him like a little brother. You know, that's what I want to see. I think that could be so wholesome. That could be so wholesome. I'd love that so much. Right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, you can see in the character posters, like, when you, because you have the three posters of the three identities, because you have Mark Spector, you have Stephen Grant, and you have Mr. Knight. I cannot wait to meet Mr. Knight. I cannot wait to meet
Mr. Knight. He's going to be the best character.
He's going to be awesome. Yeah. And also, who's the third, can you look up who all the, Mark Spector different personalities are? And also, what is the budget for Daredevil Season 1? I believe it's like $97
million. It was $56
million. $56 million. Even less.
Yeah.
Even less. So, anyway, beside the point, that's a conversation for another day when we talk about the Disney Plus shows. But already, I think this could be my favorite for another reason. I'm sorry I'm jumping around so much here. Is this show, we know who the main villain is at the start. I'm not saying there's not going to be a reveal at the end. Like, maybe we see, like, maybe at the end we meet Amit. Like, maybe that does happen. But Arthur Harrow is still the main villain. He's the primary antagonist for this series. But, Yvonne, so what do you think of Arthur Harrow so far?
Right now, I think he could be a... Like, he has control over a decent amount of people.
Yeah.
And he seems to have a bit of power from Amit. So he could be potentially dangerous.
He could be potentially dangerous. But he
can't use that power on Moon Knight right now.
Yeah. I wonder what the Scarab is. Like, what's the Scarab? Like, what role does that have to play?
There's so many. It's a doohickey. It'll do something in a later episode.
It's a goober.
Drives the plot forward.
It's a goober, as Peter B. Parker says, in the greatest comic book film of all time, Spider-Man in the Spider-Verse. It's a goober, you know.
Yeah.
There was one thing.
The personalities laid out.
Oh yeah, so we have Mark Spector, we have Stephen Grant, we have Mr. Knight. Who are the others?
Yeah, Jake Lockley, the taxi cab persona.
Ah.
And Mr. Knight, along with Moon Knight.
Okay, so
Mr. Knight being the most recent.
Yeah. So Jake Lockley. Yeah. I wonder. I don't really think Jake Lockley is going to come into play here. You know, I feel like if we, like, maybe a season two, or something. You know, one theory I saw on Twitter was, and I can't remember who said this, was, what if maybe these are different variants, right? And when the multiverse opened up, they all sort of came into one body. And I'm like,
that could be interesting. That could
be cool. But I don't think they're going to do that. Because I think they really want to portray DID in a true, authentic way. And by bringing the multiverse into it, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. But I like that theory. I like that theory.
Yeah, people, like, they could explore on that more.
They could. Which, imagine the great visual we could have one day. If Doctor Strange meets Moon Knight, he pushes them in the extra form. And I should say, I'm going to be using the word them to describe them because, like, not due to gender identity, due to there literally being multiple personalities inhabiting one body, right?
Yeah.
So if like Strange pushes them in their astral form, and we could have a scene where they all talk to each other and interact the same way, like not through a mirror or anything. I think that could be really, really cool. That could be awesome.
Do you think that would be like an actual? Do you think that would be like couples counseling for multiple personalities?
sort of like Eddie and Venom.
Yeah.
That could be fun. Which, by the way, I think I might like... I think by the end of the show, I could like Khonshu more than Venom. In terms of, like, disembodied voices inside one's head. I'm just saying. As much as I love Venom, you are a loser. As much as I love Venom, you suck. Khonshu's lines, like, I wrote them down here. Go back to sleep, worm. You're not supposed to be here. Surrender the body to Mark. Oh, the idiot's in control. I love that stuff. I thought it was so funny. But my favorite line that that Khonshu says is, "Wake up, Mark. If he loses the scarab, I'll kill you both." I thought it was hysterical. That was hysterical.
Yeah. The voice actor is obviously having a ton of fun with his role.
Yeah, who is the voice actor? I saw it on IMDb. I can pull that one up. I can pull that one up. Who? I should have the IMDb open for these episodes. F. Murray Abraham does the voice for Khonshu, which. He's doing a great job so far with this episode. Like, he just seems... He's ominous. He's an ominous being. I freaking love it. So, one thing in here. I'm not worried about the continuity of the show. Okay?
Yeah.
A couple years ago, when we first started out the podcast... And we were in the waning days of Marvel Television. Okay? We were looking for any excuse for, like, Hellstrom to be canon, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not. The only canon shows are the ones on Disney Plus. As in, produced by Marvel Studios on Disney Plus. Because now they're all on Disney Plus, and you'd be like, well, they're all on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And people are like I got into a legitimate argument with someone on Twitter... Who called me like an effing idiot, and I didn't know what I'm talking about, like a fake fan, for saying that just because the shows are on Disney Plus, it doesn't make them canon. Which, here's the thing, multiverse. And I don't think Feige's gonna contradict these shows, the old shows, so if you want them to be canon, they can be canon. Anyway, I don't need this show to be interconnected with the rest of the MCU. And one thing I did like here is. When he's explaining the Ennead to Donna, his boss, he says, they're the super group of Egyptian gods. How easy would it have been for them to say, well, they're the Avengers of the Egyptian gods?
Pretty easy. You know? Like, but then it would be interconnected.
Well, like, here's the thing. Little references like that, I'm totally fine with. But if it gets to a point, like, look, the big argument with, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Defender shows were that they didn't ever really reference the Snap. None of the other shows have really referenced the Snap that much. Hell, like, Shang-Chi only briefly mentioned it. Eternals barely mentioned it. No mention of the Snap at all. Well, no, there was, like, a little passing joke as a reference to it in No Way Home. It's like, I'm honestly at the point where, like, you could make the argument that it doesn't remember. That's beside the point. Again, I'm sorry. We're getting off on so many tangents right now. What do you think of that scene with the living statue? Yvonne. The living statue that he's talking to?
You mean like how...
The golden man that he was talking to on the bench by the fountain.
Oh, thought that was a strange idea, but I mean, it kind of works.
Yeah, it was strange but sweet at the same time, because, like, he can't run away, and he can't respond, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, he's the only one who, like, can't run away from Steven. And what I really loved here, Steven reminds the couple to tip the man. Really loved that.
He looks out for people, even in his lesser form, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, just like I'm gonna say, even when they're in the more meek personality. Hey man, I'm cold and smart, very good friend here. Meek, not that meek. He's still a good person. He's still a hero. Which, man, I'm really excited to see what, like, Mark Spector's done. And also, why is this show just 6 episodes?
Yeah, they could do more.
Like, you could have so many episodes about, like, other adventures Mark's had, right? But they're not gonna do that. Because it has to be 6 episodes. I don't know why, but it is. So do you think these guys in Austria, do you think it's like the Austrian tracksuit mafia?
Probably, but they might say bro less.
They don't say bro. And, well, they speak German instead of Russian.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did Harrow gain so much control here? Like, how long has he been there?
Like, that's a legitimate thing that I do not know.
There are so many questions here that right now intrigue me, but if we get further and further into the show and they're not answered, they're going to become problems I have, because it'll just be like, this show was lazy, and I don't think that the show's lazy. I don't think it's going to be lazy. I think I have to do exactly what they wanted in the series. So, yeah. It seems like what Harrow's also doing here, it seems a lot like the mission that the Sentinels had in X-Men Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, you know, first, they were only targeting and killing mutants, right?
Yeah.
And then they could determine if you would have a mutant child, and they would kill you then. Or if your grandchild would be a mutant, and then they'd kill you, right? So it seems like that's sort of what he's doing here. I think it could be really interesting. And I'm really excited to see, like, the ethical dilemma that's faced here, right? Like, what would that old woman have done?
Yeah. You know?
I think it'd be really, really interesting. You know, maybe it's a sort of thing like in the Chronicles of Narnia. I believe this was in Chronicles of Narnia, in the Prince Caspian book, right? Where Caspian's uncle was like, there will come a time when, you know, your nephew will betray and take back the throne. Because the uncle, what was the uncle's name? Let's see if I can, do I have the book in here somewhere? I do. Let's see if I can pull it up right here. Yeah, we're going to do this right now. Where is it? Let's see. It was something with a T. Something with a T, I remember. But anyway, the son, Caspian, I can't find it. Yvonne, can you look it up for me? I don't know why I didn't have to do that at the start. Look up Caspian uncle. So there's that. And anyway, sorry, I got derailed. Prophecy that Caspian would kill his uncle and take back the throne. So the uncle was like, all right, no, we are going to get ahead of this, I'm going to kill you first. Obviously, spoiler, Caspian doesn't die, right? So,
yeah.
That happens, and that's essentially the book. Sorry, that was super confusing. That was probably unnecessary. But, it sort of seems like maybe that's what Amit's plan is. Maybe one of these people could grow up and, like, you know, potentially take power from her. And that's why she's having Harrow out here killing these people. You know?
Mm-hmm.
No, sort of like the TVA. They thought they were all serving one purpose. They weren't. They were doing another purpose for Kang.
Mm-hmm.
Which, does Amit have some sort of knowledge over what the sacred timeline is supposed to be? I don't think that's something that's going to come into play in the show, but it could. It's an interesting question, at least, of, like, you know, again, I talk about this a lot. I've talked about this before on the podcast. What's the hierarchy of power in the multiverse now? Right? Like, who is the supreme law? Like, is it Arishem? Is it the Watcher? Is it the TVA? Is it Kang? Are they gods who are in control of everything? You know? So that is another interesting idea that we could do an episode on. That action sequence in the truck.
That was a very interesting sequence.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That may have been the most entertaining action sequence I've ever seen from the MCU.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, it was funny when you realized he had a gun in his hand.
It's like watching it jump, just like watching him jump back and forth. You know, like Steven's awake, now it's Mark, and then we're back to Steven. We don't know what Mark did. Like, I think that could be really, really interesting. Like that I thought was really cool. We're running along here, so I'm going to skip over the actual goldfish problem. But how many Gusses have there been? You know? How many times has Mark replaced Gus without Steven knowing about it? How long is that? How many times that happened? Best line in the episode here. Best line in the episode was when Steven calls Dylan and he goes, "Steak time." I thought that was hysterical. That was really funny. But the best exchange, because Marvel, as much as I love the MCU, they have the same kind of humor in everything. Everything is the same type of comedy. The comedy in this first episode felt really different. Right? It felt different. And I loved it. The best exchange in this episode was, "I'll have a steak, please." "Sure. What cut would you like?" "I'll have the best bit of the steak. That's the cut I want." "Center cuts filet. And how would you like that?" "Good, yeah. Very good, very good." That was amazing. That was so funny.
He just ordered a well-done steak.
Because he's a vegan.
Anyway.
He doesn't know.
Yeah, he doesn't know. Why wouldn't he know?
In terms of the mom, which this is another big question I had. Whose phone number is that? Whose phone number is that?
Yeah, that's an actual thing that you gotta worry about when you don't know who you are.
Well, it's been months. It's been months, right? Now, maybe Mark told his actual mother, if she's still alive, because I don't actually know if she's still alive or not at the beginning of the show, on if, like, what the state of things are, and just, like, accept it, you know? Because he's the one who's sending the postcards. Mark sends the postcards, because you brought up before the podcast that the postcards that Steven supposedly gets from his mother are the same ones that are sold at the gift shop.
Yeah.
Which just plays a little bit into the fact that Steven's not the brightest person. You know?
Yeah.
Like, if we keep going through the show and it's just Steven every single episode, I'm gonna get a little bit burnt out of that. I think.
I'm pretty sure this first episode is just to, like, introduce us to the fact that we are going to be blacking out and not get all of the answers at the same time.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool. Although, I do kind of hope maybe the blacking out is kind of done. I do hope it or maybe there's going to be a part where they both black out. Maybe there's going to be a scene where they both black out. And then, like wait, who is in control there? It wasn't you. No, it's just not me. It's not me. It's not you either, is it? And that's when we meet Mr. Knight.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be so cool. And because, like, it's been reported by, like, people who have seen the first four episodes. And I don't know any specifics past episode one. Everything I'm saying here is completely, like, I don't know. I have no information on it. But how great would it be if that's the big thing that happens at the end of episode four? That all of the people who have seen the first episode are like, this is freaking awesome. The big twist here. Like, what if that's like, what if that's the introduction of Mr. Knight? That'd be really freaking cool.
That would be pretty cool.
Mark begins to make contact with Steven. I thought that was a great scene. Steven's going to use the flip phone as a weapon. Which, flip phone, where does this take place in the MCU timeline? Now, Disney Plus, where, because they have the option, because they have that, like, little row, that section where you can watch the MCU in timeline order, it's set after Hawkeye. So I think we can assume it's 2025 here.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're about, we're now 7 years after the snap. 7 years after the snap, it's crazy. But yeah, anyway. Anyway, Khonshu is haunting Steven. Steven doesn't want JB to let anyone into the museum. I thought it was really funny. That was
Because, like, it's a blatantly, like, public place.
And I loved JB's, and JB was the security guard. I loved his reaction. Like, his delivery of that line, it felt human. It felt human. It felt authentic.
Yeah.
It felt like, if you were to
respond to a person that wants you to stop people from coming into a very public place.
Yeah, but, like, it's not like he was, it's not like he was even, like, necessarily mean towards Steven, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that was good. I thought that was good delivery. Arthur shows up at the museum. Steven's like, Ronnie, come arrest this person. Turns out Ronnie is part of this cult. He says, praise Amit. Now, Vaughn, do you think praise Amit is going to be the new catchphrase for the show? Because for one vision we had, for one vision was for the children. In Falcon Winter Soldier, it was, One World, One People. In Loki, we had For All Time, Always. Hawkeye was just, bro. Come here, bro. It's Kate Bishop, bro. I think here's going to be praise Amit. You know?
Probably.
So, yeah. love the line. Where Arthur asks Steven, do you know Amit? And he goes, do I know Amit? No, not personally. I thought that was great. That was so good.
It's just the way Steven is.
It's just being Steven. I think, like, Steven's not the smartest character. I don't want the whole show to be about Steven. I think Mark is much more interesting. And I think a lot of people would agree with me there. That Mark's more interesting of the two that we've met so far. But I hope that, like, we get more, like, little comedic bits here and there with Steven. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this line from Hera. Would you wait to weed a garden until after the roses are dead? I love that line.
Yeah, that's an amazing line.
It gives, like, an actual argument for the... Because, like, people say, like, would you go back in time and kill baby Hitler? I'm like, no, I would not kill baby Hitler. Because imagine the disarray and, like, how divided we would all be. Because as horrible as that was, because people are going to say this and, like, I support Hitler. This is not true at all. But we would not have the United Nations. There would not be all these different treaties and alliances that most countries have together if not for World War II.
Yeah.
So the aftermath of everything that happened, as horrendous and horrific as it was, and how it makes me sick to my stomach every time I learn about it. Makes me sick to my stomach. Like, whenever, like, I watch a World War II movie and they show a depiction of the Holocaust, it makes me sick to my stomach. I want to vomit. I want to just, like, punch those Nazis in the face. But
it's the American dream.
It's... You don't go back in time and kill one of the most important people in history. By far one of the worst men to ever walk the earth. He's one of the most important people in history, though. So I actually think it's really interesting, this argument here. Would you wait to weed a garden until after the roses are dead? Yeah, but maybe Amit knows of the sacred timeline and King's plan. We already talked about that. But if Yvonne, do you think there's any correlation here between the sacred timeline that's been written and Amit?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, whether or not it's happening, and then if it's, like, brought up in the show, are two different things. Like, that's two separate things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'll be brought up in this show, but it could just be a fan theory, you know? How much did you love the Avatar confusion there? How much did you love that?
That was so funny, because, like, they're both Disney properties. Of course they can do that.
Well, Avatar Last Airbender's not actually Disney property, but still. The number of times I've had to clarify what I'm talking about, like, Avatar Last Airbender or Avatar movie, you know? Like, well, I'll reference how Avatar 2 is out this year, like, do another Last Airbender movie? I'm like, no, Blue People Avatar. Which... I cannot wait for this trailer to come out for Avatar 2 so people will actually believe me when I say that Avatar 2 is this year. Seriously. Do you think that Hero knows Khonshu is inside their head?
I don't think they would know.
Because Hero says, is an awful having that demanding voice inside your head always? I think it's possible that maybe Hero does know. Like, there is clearly some history between Spectre and Hero. There's clearly history there. Because he recognized him in the Alps.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll actually see, like, moving forward in the series. Night at the Museum. Love that movie. Which, by the way, the Night at the Museum trilogy is directed by Shawn Levy. Shawn Levy just started two movies starring Ryan Reynolds, Free Guy, which on Disney Plus, which is great, and The Adam Project on Netflix. Guys, The Adam Project is awesome. Go watch it this weekend. Don't go watch Morbius. Go watch The Adam Project on Netflix. Vaughn, have you seen that one yet, The Adam Project?
I haven't seen The Adam Project. It is on my list.
Dude, watch. It is... I loved that movie. I thought it was great. It stars Ryan Reynolds, so obviously Deadpool. It stars Zoe Saldana. I think, honestly, Zoe Saldana is the most attractive woman in the MCU. And I'll fight anyone on that. Yeah, so it's got Gamora. It's also got Ruffalo. It's got the Hulk in it, which is pretty fun. And then also has Multiverse. Has Jennifer Garner, who played Elektra in the awful 2003 Daredevil movie. But Shawn Levy's directing Deadpool 3. Which is great. Which obviously all the Night at the Museum stuff here it's not like they could have known that because it was just announced that Sean Levy's doing Deadpool 3. But still, I think it's fun. It's a little like after the fact reference there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I previously said it on last night that was a werewolf.
Yeah, it's a jackal.
It's a jackal. Which I didn't know that until I watched it with the audio description. But it's a jackal, which makes more sense to me because that's more Egyptian.
Yeah.
I love this line from Arthur Harrow. Stephen Grant of the Gift Shop. That was amazing. That was great. That reminded me of in Doctor Strange, when Caecilius is in the Sanctum Sanctorum, and he says, Mr. Doctor. Like, he keeps calling him Mr. Doctor. That's what that reminded me of.
Yeah.
Man, that last scene in the bathroom, that was intense. Which was very intense. When you think of intense scenes in the bathroom, that's not typically what you think of.
Nope.
But the only line I wrote down there, how crazy it was, and by the way, that's where you really get the first sense, your first little look at how Oscar Isaac's going to play Mark and Steven differently. That's one of the things that's most intriguing to me about this show, is how is Oscar Isaac being an incredible gifted actor. You know, he was wasted in Star Wars. As much as I love the character Poe Dameron, he was wasted in that trilogy.
Yeah, they could have done so much more with all of the characters. They could have done something.
We're not going to talk about that right now. But
we don't have the time for that.
No, we've been going for like an hour. We've been going for like an hour. But Oscar Isaac is an incredible actor. He's great. Thought he was really good in Dune. He was really, really good in Dune. But the only line I wrote down for that last scene was, "I'm vengeance." That's what that was. That's what that was. That was the Batman. Whew, that's all my notes. It's all my notes, I got one last thing I want to say. The music. The music in this show is so good.
Yes.
That song that they keep playing, like, whenever Stephen wakes up, it's called A Man Without Love. And then the other song, like, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, they both, like, relate to, like, the idea of waking up, right? And missing out on things.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's really interesting. And, oh my god, why is it that the main theme of every Disney Plus show, Marvel or Star Wars, always slaps?
Yeah, they've been so good.
Da 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 da. For The Mandalorian, that Boba Fett theme. Da 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 da. Ba do ba do ba do ba. Like that. That's great. All the WandaVision intros were wonderful.
Yep.
Louisiana Hero from The Falcon and the Winter Soldier is the only soundtrack thing that's on my workout playlist. It's the only soundtrack that's on my workout playlist. The Loki theme is great. I love the Loki theme so much. That's a great theme. The Hawkeye theme I thought was really good. It was nice, upbeat, Christmassy. And man, the Moon Knight theme. The Moon Knight theme. I'm really glad they like drop like the main theme for each show the day that the show releases now. I'm really glad they do that. I'm really glad they do that. I think it's great. But Yvonne, any final thoughts you have on Moon Knight Episode 1? Oh, you know what? Sorry. We actually have some listener feedback to get to. We have like two pieces of feedback here from the boss. Also, we actually just got a message from Authentic Noob 05, who was on our Ms. Marvel trailer breakdown that I did with Michael a couple weeks ago, who says, might have to come back after that minute episode. Maybe. I'd love to have you back, man. It was great to have you. Then we got a really nice note here from the Marvel Super Awesome Super Show, who said to us, solid 8.6 for me. Excited to hear what another Marvel podcast has to say about it too. I don't rate shows out of 10 because it changes all the time.
Yeah.
If I had to say right now, I'd probably just like a 9.5. But that's going to change. It's going to change. And also, like, I'll give something a certain rating, and people will be like, why did you hate it? Like, I'll give it a 7 or an 8, and be like, why did you hate it? Really?
Yeah, well, like, that's a good rating.
Yeah, yeah, so the boss sends some feedback. Unfortunately, Michael's not here with us to understand, read with us. I don't know why I said the word understand there, but Michael just got back from Dominican Republic for spring break. He's going to be joining us for Moon Knight next week, though, hopefully. So, Boss added us with a whole lot of other Marvel shows, including the MCU cast, which is the podcast that inspired me the most. So, I'm honored to be mentioned among these guys. Just watched Ep 1 of Moon Knight, and oh my god, this is the dark MCU I've been wanting. Had me glued from the first second. Not sure about the British accent. Even the British actor's accent sounded dodgy. What a start. No, the boss, you are British, okay? You would know better than I would. I got one British friend. I'm going to be talking to him about his accent, how he, what he thinks about Oscar Isaac's accent. But, you know, we talk about, like, he wanted it to sound fake because it is fake, even in-universe. That accent is not real. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way it's real.
Oh, and the boss also wrote in saying just glass shoes. Oh, God. And last thing from the boss, top-tier actor starring in Disney and Marvel TV shows. What a time to be alive. What a performance from the moment we saw the glass shoes. I thought, oh, we go in dark with the series. Hopefully this will be the point we see much more darker themes in the MCU. Yes, it will be, because, I mean, right after this ends, there's Multiverse of Madness, which should be super dark. There's going to be, what else are we getting that's going to be darker? Like, the Agatha show is going to be pretty dark, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how dark this is going to be in terms of, like, dark themes, but it's going to be more intense. Deadpool 3. You know? It's going to be R-rated. We're getting Blade. We're getting this Daredevil reboot. So, yeah. It's great. Oh, and Werewolf by Night. So, yeah. The MCU is going darker, which I love. But then we're also getting stuff like Ms. Marvel and She-Hulk. Mm-hmm. So, I just cannot wait for it, guys. I can't wait for next week. Yvonne, any final thoughts? I already asked you this.
The way they do this, the way they use the music in the episode is incredible, and yeah. I hope they keep it up.
Yeah, I thought that the main title theme was great. I loved how we got that, how we didn't hear the main, like, Moon Knight theme until the very end of the episode when we see it for the first time. That was great.
Yeah.
I mean, who's the composer? Let's see if I can find that over on Spotify. Composer was Hisham Nazi. I'm sure I butchered your name. I'm so sorry. I hope he gives, like, individual themes from all the personalities. I think it'd be really cool. I think it'd be really, really cool. But yeah, I don't have anything else here, guys. Next podcast will be sometime next week. We're going to be doing Moon Knight Episode 2, of course, Wednesday night. Also, Morbius. Reviews me next week, Yvonne. We're going on Monday night for Morbius.
We're going to have...
Oh, God.
Woo! Oh.
Yeah.
We're going to make fun of this movie so much.
Yes, we are. I hope we find some enjoyment in this film. Honestly, I do. Yeah. But yeah,
I hope every film is good, but there are some.
Yeah, I never want a movie to be bad. No one ever wants a movie to be bad. It's just like, gotta be realistic. And I never thought this was gonna be some incredible piece of art, but Oh, man. Oh, wait. Actually, you know what? Let's actually just do this right now. Because the review should have just come out, like, a half hour ago. Hmm. Oh, man. Reviews are out. Let's check Rotten Tomatoes. Two reviews. They're both rotten. Oh, man. So these just say right here. So stuff.co.nz, so New Zealand, says, so this is Graham Tuckett. You know, I'm sorry, I mispronounced your name. Morbius is a mostly unlikable mess. The lowest bar any superhero movie has to clear is that it should at least be fun to watch. Morbius falls at the first hurdle. Woo! Man, that's good. The only other review that's up right now on Rotten Tomatoes is from Liam Megarin, who says, one of the worst popcorn blockbuster experiences in recent memory. I'm so excited for this movie. Oh my god. I am so excited for Morbius. Alright guys, that's gonna do it. Thank you guys so much for listening. You guys can find us on Another Marvel on Twitter at Another Marvel P1. Please go leave a 5-star review on iTunes. A lot of people are going to be finding the show for the first time this week because new Disney Plus show is out. A lot of people are going to be wanting a new podcast. So please, please go leave a 5-star review. We'll read it here on the show. It really does help us out so, so much when you guys do that. Yeah, thank you guys so, so much for listening. I'm Drew Gretsch.
And I'm Yvonne Steven.
Steak time!